are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock here with you once again on this Monday edition of the program. No rapid react today because there was no game for the 49ers. It's kind of a bummer, right? For a bye week. It's great for the players. They need some time off, but for the fans are sitting here, man, no game. No game to talk about this week. So we've got plenty to get into this week. Going to bring Nick on tomorrow, then have the Locked On Buccaneers crossover episode on Wednesday and start looking ahead to that Bucs matchup next week for the 49ers. And I hope you all have a really good holiday week this week. It is going to be another shortened week. So we had a bye, then a holiday week. So four episodes this week. We are taking Thanksgiving off network-wide, but still plenty to get to this week on Locked On 49ers. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, review the show on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, LockedOn49ers.com. Follow me on Twitter at BD Peacock. You can email the show LockedOn49ers at Gmail. Feel free to start getting those in for tomorrow's show with Nick. We'll definitely be dipping into the mailbag. On today's episode, I want to look around at the NFL, what went down on Sunday, and then some key stats I found looking around this weekend involving the 49ers, some PFF grades, and some other things that I thought were interesting. And just sort of a reminder, sometimes you're so into the minutiae of what's going on with the 49ers, and it's good to just zoom out because I haven't even really looked at just the raw stats for the last few weeks of the season-long stats. Surprised by some things and where targets are being distributed on offense right now. And so we'll get into some stuff and what I found interesting. And then I guess we'll go ahead and start with what went down on Sunday and what particularly impacts the 49ers. A big win for the 49ers. First of all, they didn't lose a game because they didn't play this week. They didn't win, yes, but they didn't lose, but they were winners because, as Ty pointed out on Twitter to me, he said the Niners just won their bye week by not losing a game while the Giants, Raiders, Lions, Broncos, and Cowboys all won. So yeah, that helps the 49ers as far as getting a better draft selection. And if everybody else in the league is just sort of mediocre record-wise, that helps the 49ers draft capital there, whether they're picking a player high or trading back with that value. The obvious name that everyone is excited about in the draft this year, especially with the needs the 49ers have, is Nick Bosa, Joey Bosa's little brother from Ohio State. He's already, I don't know if he's enrolled in classes anymore, if he just completely bounced out of the whole institution, but he already declared for the draft and stopped playing for the team because he had an injury. He was trying to rehab, and so he just decided to quit that and rehab for the draft. Ohio State's season might not be going in a direction that they would have been able to use him for a championship run at this point, the way they're playing. But Nick Bosa is going to be that guy. I don't know if Nick Bosa is the player that 49ers fans need to wring their hands about and say, oh my gosh, he's a generational pass rusher. Can't pass on this guy. We need to tank to get Nick Bosa. I don't know if it's going to be that. I don't know if he's going to have the workout numbers that puts him in a category like Jadeveon Clowney was, or even Khalil Mack as a draft prospect, or Myles Garrett or anybody like that. Joey Bosa didn't have the greatest workout numbers, and so Nick Bosa could be the same, because a lot of people thought Joey Bosa might be the number one overall pick, or at least one of the top couple guys. They think he fell to number three, and that was a little high, actually, for what a lot of people thought after they saw him work out, because they're like, oh, he's big. Is he an end? Is he an outside linebacker? What is he? Does he have to move into tackle because he's so big, and he didn't run that well, but he actually is playing outside linebacker, so... But Nick is a lot like his brother, a little bit smaller, but might be a little quicker, a little bit more juice. So if he is able to work out better, I think that'll help Nick a lot and maybe will allow him to be the number one pick in the draft. And he is the best prospect, I think, that's out there right now, just based on tape and the way he plays, and especially with what the 49ers need. But it will really help the 49ers, and it doesn't look like it's happening right now, as if a quarterback or two really start standing out and start being guys that teams are looking at as top of the draft quarterbacks, because that'll make other teams potentially that would draft the player the 49ers want draft a quarterback instead, or obviously have that trade value the 49ers could move down and gain a bunch of picks. But still a long ways off, and I still don't think the 49ers are going to lose quite enough games to get that number one pick. Right now, They're in a three-way tie record-wise with the Cardinals and the Raiders at 2-8 at the top of the draft. And then there's a bunch of other teams, one of those being the Buccaneers that the 49ers are going to play next week that have three wins. And the 49ers would have the tiebreaker right now with strength of the schedule, and that looks like it might hold out. So, and of course, if that's a tie, it doesn't matter with the head-to-head stuff because the 49ers and Raiders played each other and the Cardinals, obviously, and all these teams have played each other. The head-to-head stuff doesn't matter. It's record, then it's strength of schedule. And then, like last year with the 49ers and Raiders, if strength of schedule is also tied, then you just go to the coin flip. And we all know how that went with the 49ers winning the coin flip and it ended up drafting the player that the Raiders liked in Mike McGlinchey. And they ended up moving back with the Cardinals. Funny, all the three same teams. Cardinals moved up. They drafted Josh Rosen at 10. The Raiders, when they moved back to 15, took Colton Miller at offensive tackle, their second offensive tackle on their board, because the 49ers snatched Mike McGlinchey right out from underneath him. More on McGlinchey momentarily with the season he's putting together and putting together some very good Pro Football Focus grades when it comes to offensive linemen. Sticking with the draft theme, Monday Night Football could have a little impact on that for the 49ers. So if you didn't already have some rooting interests, and I think you might, being that the Los Angeles Rams is one of the teams playing, if you weren't sure who you were rooting for on Monday night, most of you probably not rooting for the Rams. So I would assume if you needed another reason to root for the Chiefs, James points out on Twitter that the Chiefs will hold some keys for the 49ers draft placement as well. James points out that Chiefs win Monday night, it will further increase the Raiders' strength of schedule because they play them twice and the 49ers play the Rams twice. In addition, the Chiefs win out, they will sit starters in Week 17. So Week 17 opponent equals the Raiders for the Chiefs. So if the Chiefs are heading into the playoffs and just need to sit that one out, then the Raiders get to play the B team for the Chiefs, and that's not a guaranteed win either. But the same could happen with the 49ers. They're playing the Rams in Week 17. The Rams could be that team that's also just kind of hanging out. But those teams could also still have the pedal to the metal if they're trying to earn, say, especially in the NFC, if the Saints and the Rams are fighting for which team will have that bye and be the one seed in the playoffs, and they're not resting anybody, the Chiefs might have an easier route in as the one seed, especially if they beat the Rams on Monday night. So there you have it. If the season ended today, the 49ers would have the first pick in the draft, but I got to believe the Niners are going to win a few games and the Raiders might not win very many, if any, more games. And so I got to believe it's going to be the Raiders that end up earning that first pick, and the 49ers won't have a shot. But it's pretty obvious the 49ers are going to be picking high in this draft, so they're going to be able to draft a good player. So I don't think it's worth wringing your hands over, but for all the losing, maybe a little bright side that some fans can take, and maybe some fans might be, in fact, rooting for, is that the 49ers might earn a better draft pick and potentially the number one overall pick. It's out there. Okay, it's time for a quick break. Going to get into a little bit more of what I saw on Sunday, just some thoughts around the NFL, and then talk about some numbers and some stats and some PFF grades and some DVOA and some yards per route run and some other interesting things on the 49ers stat sheet. But first, I want to help you guys win a little bit of cash and maybe get some free cash by signing up with MyBookie, who will match your first deposit 100% up to $1,000. I'll give you that promo code in just a minute, but they've been in the business for years. They have great reviews online, and MyBookie's mobile site is super easy to use. And remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I always tell people to bet with MyBookie. So lay down some cash and win big today. They have in-game live betting. They have the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today, MYBOOKIE. And don't forget to use promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim that bonus. That will match your first deposit 100% up to $1,000. At MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. Oh man, one thing I got to mention is the Alex Smith injury. And I think most 49ers fans have pretty fond memories of Alex Smith. I know his career started off pretty rough and maybe he didn't play up to that potential of being the number one overall pick in the draft, especially when Aaron Rodgers was taken later in the same draft. And but man, he had a brutal no bueno injury, and he's done. He's done for the year. And Colt McCoy is taking over at quarterback for Washington now. And Colt McCoy actually played okay coming in for Alex Smith. And let me ask you guys this. What if Alex Smith's career took this crazy turn and he's no longer a starting caliber player because this injury totally crushes his career? And I don't think it's going to be that case or anything like that. It was a brutal looking injury, but I think Alex Smith will be back. And what about Alex Smith coming back and being like the backup quarterback in San Francisco? I mean, I think that'd be awesome. No matter where his career goes, it'd be cool to see Alex Smith come back. I like Alex Smith. I think he's a great dude. He was a pretty good quarterback. He kind of had a rough go. He had a rough situation coming in on a terrible team. He was super young coming out of college, wasn't quite ready to play. It took him a while, but he stuck with it. It's rare to see a quarterback falter early and be bad and get beaten up and benched at times and then come out of it and be a long-term good starting quarterback, which is what Alex Smith has done. He took a really rare path to becoming a pretty good NFL quarterback. And so, obviously there was the run with Harbaugh and they got really good. Then he gets hurt and then Kaepernick comes in and keeps the job. And so just a really odd path for Alex Smith. And it was terrible to see this injury because I really like Alex Smith. And, Joe Theismann even saying that it was just like the famous leg injury he had 33 years ago. Side note on Joe Theismann, by the way, and this is something that I don't know why I didn't know this story growing up, but I heard it recently, was that Joe Theismann changed his name. His name is actually pronounced Theismann. I don't know if you guys have heard this story, but he was Joe Theismann. He changed his name to Theismann in 1970 when he was vying for the Heisman Trophy because it rhymed, and he was going for the Heisman Trophy playing at Notre Dame. And that's got to be a bummer for you if you're Joe Theismann and you change your name to Joe Theismann. I mean, didn't change the spelling, just the way he pronounces it. And so now everyone calls him Theismann. You change your name to win an award, then not only you lose your correct name forever, but you don't even end up winning the award. Jim Plunkett won that 1970 Heisman Award when he was playing at Stanford. So interesting side note for those of you who haven't heard that story about Joe Theismann, who's really Joe Theismann. But reminiscent, same team, same type of brutal leg injury. Sucks to see that for Alex Smith. The New Orleans Saints, man, absolutely rolling right now. Drew Brees dropping dimes everywhere all over that Philly defense. And they're looking much worse now. They lost Ronald Darby for the year, who was playing at a high level at cornerback. Shadow 49er Ronald Darby, by the way. And Drew Brees just destroyed them, just dropping in dimes, beautiful passes. Drew Brees right now might be MVP. There's a lot of competition with the way the ball's getting slung around the NFL right now. And the Saints defense is playing pretty good, even though statistically maybe they aren't up there that high just because they score so many points. And I'm going to talk about that momentarily because that's kind of the way for a lot of the really good teams right now that are really putting up points. The defenses aren't statistically holding up, but they're doing plenty to win with how high powered the offenses are. Another team, the Chicago Bears, man, did a number on the Minnesota Vikings on Sunday night. Khalil Mack, I think right now, can just take over a game on defense, maybe like nobody else in the league. And in fact, I talked about Drew Brees. If I'm putting offensive defensive player of the year, as much as like Goff and Gurley and Patrick Mahomes are doing things, I might give it to Drew Brees right now on offense. And I think I'd give it to Khalil Mack just by seeing the impact he has on the Bears defense. And he almost renders the Minnesota Vikings non-functional on offense because of what he's doing and wrecking them. And he's all over the place and just putting offensive linemen on their back, single-handedly creating turnovers by knocking the ball out of a running back's hands and then recovering it himself. Khalil Mack is just on another level right now. It's crazy. So I think the Bears are not going to have any problem not drafting in the first round for the next 2 years because they got that stud on the defensive side of the ball, and it's really turned around their season. I don't know if they're ready to go to that next step. I mean, they're 7-3 right now. They just beat the team that everyone thought was going to win the NFC North. Now the Bears are in the driver's seat, so they're going to win the division if they keep playing like this. Trubisky's playing awesome. I don't know if Trubisky's quite ready for prime time as far as taking the Bears deep into the playoffs as a quarterback, but he's looking a lot better under Nagy, their new head coach, and I think Trubisky has a bright future. I really like his skill set, and now he's got a great coach, and he's playing confident. The Bears are a team, man, that could be good for a little while, and we'll see if they're ready right now to compete and go deep into the playoffs, but they might win that division with the way they're playing right now, so... Those are just some things I saw around the league. That's a good segue to what I was talking about just a second ago about the Saints and their defense. And one statistic, DVOA, which is by Football Outsiders, which is to give you an idea of, on a level playing field, how teams are performing. And I thought it was interesting on the defensive side of the ball that the 49ers are ranked around, they're not ranked at the bottom, but they're ranked at around 19 or 20 in DVOA on the defensive side of the ball. But teams that are below them are teams you would expect, Tampa, New York Giants, Raiders, some of the best teams in the NFL. And part of that is just because they're chucking the ball around so much that they're scoring high, and teams in return have to try to keep up with that pace and are trying to sling it back, and it's not really working. But teams like the Rams and the Chiefs, and I mean, the Chiefs' defense isn't that good too, so that helps. But the Saints' defense is okay. The Rams' defense on paper was supposed to be awesome. It's not performing as well, especially guys like Marcus Peters isn't having the greatest year. But all three of those teams who are going to walk into the playoffs are ranked near the bottom at DVOA, worse than the 49ers. But it's tough for the 49ers, who are giving up more points than they're scoring, even though the offense is kind of doing pretty well, which I think is important. The offense right now is, when you're looking at points, just total points scored, what Kyle Shanahan is doing. And this is why when people talk about Kyle Shanahan getting fired, it's kind of crazy talk, because look, you got an undrafted running back, you got an undrafted quarterback. I mean, the undrafted quarterback's playing better than the third round quarterback, but still, you don't have your starting quarterback. You don't have Jimmy Garoppolo. You've got Nick Mullins in there, and he's playing okay. And you have Matt Breida, undrafted running back, and he's playing pretty good, 5.6 yards per carry right now. And it's like what Kyle Shanahan is doing on offense, and we've talked a lot about the wide receivers, how they need upgrades, they need more difference makers and more bullets and more firepower at wide receiver, and just more playmakers on the offensive side of the ball. But even then, they're still scoring, you know, 23, 24 points per game with that group. So it's actually pretty great what the 49ers are doing with Kyle Shanahan on the offensive side of the ball, despite needing a little bit more. But on the defensive side of the ball, they've got numerous first-round draft picks. They've got free agent dollars and many more resources on the defensive side of the ball right now. And it's just they're not getting better. And that's why a lot of people are calling for Robert Saleh's head. And I'm not going that far with it, but kind of getting off topic here statistically. But Kyle Shanahan and the offense, they're doing, I think, well for what they have to work with, which is still not good enough. It's not great. But being middle of the road with a bunch of undrafted free agents, they're still holding their head above water offensively. The same can't be said, I think, for the defensive side of the ball, although there is some overwhelmingly key things that they don't have, especially the pass rush, talking about Khalil Mack. How much difference would that make on the 49ers defense? Everybody would look better, especially those defensive backs, which is the other part that's sort of lagging right now for the 49ers, is figuring out who can cover in that defensive backfield besides Richard Sherman. All right, it's time for a quick break here, and then we'll be back basically to just talk about how much of a beast George Kittle is. George Kittle, he's a monster. He's on pace to break some records, one of those being just the best tight end statistically ever in a season for the 49ers. Pro Football Focus came out with an article describing some of the record-setting paces and the bar he's setting for tight ends in the NFL right now. One of the craziest stats is yards after catch. Kittle has far and away the most yards per catch for tight ends in the league. He's got 535 yards after the catch, which is crazy, after 10 weeks. The second on that list would be Travis Kelce with only 362. But the other thing is who he ranks with, which is something I didn't even realize. He ranks with some of the top pass-catching running backs in yards after the catch. Todd Gurley has 10.6. Saquon Barkley's averaging 9.5. Christian McCaffrey, 8.4. Alvin Kamara, a great receiving running back, 7.8 yards. Kittle has more than all of those. He's averaging 10.7 yards after the catch per reception. Let me repeat that. He's averaging over 10 yards after the catch per reception. Total per reception, he's averaging 15.5 yards per catch, which is something that usually deep threat wide receivers will have. So he's on pace to shatter some crazy records, including after the catch records for tight ends. He's going to obliterate the 49ers' record for receiving yards in a season. He already has 775 receiving yards on 50 catches through 10 games. And so he's going to go way over the 1,000 yard mark. So an absolutely crazy season right now that George Kittle is having for the 49ers in his sophomore season. The record for yards after the catch for a tight end is Travis Kelce's 652 in 2016. That year, he only averaged 7.7 yards after the catch. And like I just mentioned, George Kittle's almost there. He's only 100 yards behind Travis Kelce's record, and we're only in week 11 right now. Now, when it comes to other receivers for the 49ers, not a lot to get excited about. I was actually really surprised to see that Pierre Garçon has the second most catches on the 49ers with 24. He's got 24 catches for 286 yards. So the number two on the list for the 49ers receptions-wise has less than half as many as George Kittle does. He's got almost exactly the same numbers as Kyle Juszczyk, actually. Juszczyk has just one fewer catch than Pierre Garçon. Yards-wise, he's about 20 behind him. So very similar numbers there for Pierre Garçon, who was supposed to be your number one wide receiver coming in, and your fullback. And now, granted, Kyle Juszczyk's the best fullback in the NFL. But it's just 49ers offense is super weird right now. Undrafted quarterback, undrafted running back. The running back, by the way, playing not like an undrafted running back. Matt Breed is great. He's playing awesome. But then you have a tight end that's leading your offense in receiving. Your second best receiver is basically a fullback. Marquise Goodwin only has 17 catches on the season right now for 339 yards. He's making the most of those catches. He still leads the 49ers in touchdown receptions with four. So basically one in every four catches for Marquise Goodwin is a touchdown, and he's averaging almost 20 yards per catch. So big plays are coming. But it's just too sparse for the production for Marquise Goodwin, especially compared to what I think expectations were coming in, which is pretty much across the board what people are probably thinking. And all of your thoughts and hopes for what was going to be going on with the 49ers receivers and how they were going to play, everybody's well below that. But when it comes to tight end and George Kittle and fullback Kyle Juszczyk, those guys right now are playing about as good as you can play, and both those guys are most likely Pro Bowl bound. And one more number just to drive this home about George Kittle that I like is yards per route run, and Kittle leads the league as far as tight ends go in yards per route run with 2.66 yards per route run. He leads, well, a couple of these guys have one catch, so more than 10 targets. George Kittle leads the league in yards per route run. That's ahead of Travis Kelce. It's ahead of Zach Ertz. It's ahead of O.J. Howard, who's kind of secretly under the radar having a really good season because he's an awesome blocker and he's super athletic as well. And just Cameron Brate being there in Tampa is the only thing holding O.J. Howard back from being the top five tight end in the league, which I think is what O.J. Howard's going to end up being as well. But, better than Gronk, better than all those guys, George Kittle right now performing at tight end. And so there's an argument George Kittle, with his blocking ability and what he's doing as a receiver, there's definitely the argument to be made that George Kittle's having the best season at tight end in the NFL, and that's totally fair. Right there with Zach Ertz. Zach Ertz doesn't block anywhere near as good as Kittle does. Kelce blocks a little bit better. He's more of a physical dude, but Kittle might be a better blocker than him, so. O.J. Howard's very complete. He's probably just not quite there yet just because of opportunity, because he's still somewhat sharing snaps and only has about half as many targets and receptions as George Kittle does on the season. But he's going to be a beast, and he's going to be a red zone weapon too. I really like O.J. Howard. But, I mean, they came out of the same draft class in 2017. O.J. Howard, physically, is a monster. He was a first-round pick. George Kittle, a little bit smaller, but athletically timed out just as well as O.J. Howard. And he was a very good blocker, too. And the Niners just highway robbery, completely stole George Kittle in the fifth round. All right, real quick, before we wrap this up, I want to talk about the defensive side of the ball just for 1 second. And it's really a sad story. You look at the Pro Football Focus grades, and it's like three guys, basically. Dakota Watson is up there, but he's only played in two games. So if you take that small sample out, really it's three guys that have above average grades for the 49ers defense. It's Richard Sherman, it's DeForest Buckner, as you would expect, and maybe one you wouldn't expect quite as much, although I think people know he's played pretty well this year, is Eric Armstead. Those are the three guys that grade out above average on the 49ers defense, and that's not good. There's a lot of players. There's, you know, obviously everyone's talked to death about Solomon Thomas, who's drafted high, and he's still in the top 10 as far as grades go in the 49ers defense, even though he hasn't been used much as a rusher interior, which is where he should be doing, but he's been doing work on base downs as a run defender, one of the top grades as a run defender for the 49ers. But Fred Warner doesn't have great grades, but I think everyone can see how good he's going to be, and I think, you know, he'll just get more efficient as a player. Obviously, the big disappointment, I think, on the defensive side of the ball, besides the cover guys and the miscommunications that's going on the defensive side of the ball, is obviously Reuben Foster. And he's not at that superstar level, and is actually his grades way down there right now. He's getting crushed by Pro Football Focus as far as grades go. And so we'll see. I expect a turnaround here now that he's had a couple of weeks. He's had nearly a month off when you consider the Thursday Night Football was the last time he played, right? And then he was off for Monday Night Football, then the bye week. So a lot of time to recover for Reuben Foster. So hopefully a healthy Reuben Foster will really help him turn the switch on this year, and we'll see that same guy we saw in his rookie season last year. But yeah, DeForest Buckner, he's obviously been the best player for the 49ers. If George Kittle's the offensive MVP, DeForest Buckner's got to be the defensive MVP. And by the way, I mentioned Mike McGlinchey earlier in the episode. Shout out to him for being the top-rated run-blocking tackle in the NFL and the top-rated rookie offensive lineman in the NFL via Pro Football Focus. And so he's been a home run pick for the 49ers. I know a lot of people, I wanted a pass rusher there. A lot of people didn't like the McGlinchey pick at first, especially being like, what? We got Trent Brown. Knowing the Trent Brown trade was in the works and what Kyle Shanahan wants to do offensively and running the ball, it's all very crystal clear now. And I think everyone can agree that was a fantastic pick by John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan of Mike McGlinchey. So home run pick there, and he's graded out very well. He's been awesome. But DeForest Buckner, still, I think there's more there for him. And Kyle Shanahan, going into the bye week, even mentioned, he's like, yeah, even DeForest Buckner can get better. And he's top five in the NFL right now in quarterback pressures from interior defensive linemen. The only guys with more, Aaron Donald, of course, Fletcher Cox, who's an awesome player, Geno Atkins, also great. This is like the golden era for interior defensive linemen, by the way. There's just the NFL's littered with awesome interior defensive linemen right now. And Chris Jones is the other guy. Those four players are the only people that have more total quarterback pressures than DeForest Buckner as interior defensive linemen. So I had to shout out some of those guys and talk about players that are doing well on the defensive side of the ball. And there's not that many of them actually as far as grades go with Pro Football Focus. And a shout out to Eric Armstead, who's finally stayed healthy this year and absolutely playing the best ball of his career. And we'll see what the 49ers do with that salary that's coming up, that fifth year option that's pricey. And they got a lot of things to figure out this offseason as far as how they want to structure that defensive line with all the big ends they have right now. All right, that's going to do it for this episode. Be back with Nick Winkler tomorrow, our weekly wink on Tuesday's episode, and then a crossover on Wednesday. All that right here on Locked On 49ers.